God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, doth call thee to attention even in this night. And know ye not that I brought thee to this place, that thou should hear a word that thou hast never heard before? But yea, let it go down to the depths of thy spirit. Thou shalt not think of it as something just passing by. But this is an hour of my choosing, saith the Lord, that I've called this people together, that shall be the desire of my heart. Because many have been called, but few have been chosen to come into my presence, saith thy God. For count the calling presence, for this shall be a people thou shalt march strong in this hour, and declare that there is none other God but me. For I'm the God that created the heavens, and I'm the God that created this universe. But nothing delights me more than a people that will trust me and obey what I say. And I demand this night obedience more than thy sacrifice. And if thou dost do this, there shall be nothing that shall stand before thee, yet thy eye might see it. But yea, know ye not that I, the Lord of hosts, doth go before thee, even as I did of Israel of old, and the giants of this land that are in the earth. But remember one thing, they're not in your earth, because I've taken you out of this world and brought you unto myself, and to give you this kingdom, saith thy God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let your praise be that comes through your obedience. Hallelujah. As you're obedient to the Lord, then you'll praise Him. You'll magnify Him. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise His name. And remember, this night, you're here with a divine appointment. Hallelujah. You're here with a divine appointment. And when that word comes forth to you tonight, it's not just for passing. It's not just for just a little taste. But it is to take hold of. And to live out. To live it out. I don't know about you, but I've come because I want my life to continue to keep changing. To keep changing. To keep changing. Because I want to be in the image of Jesus. I want to be walking and talking and acting just like Jesus. I want to be walking in that. And so the word Jesus will affect me and change me. You know, I want to take every bit of it and chew it. And chew it until I become it. You know, that food that you eat gets inside of you and becomes totally part of you. You know? And we need to be the same way with the Word this day. And just on that note, there are tapes available of every meeting. Put your name down. And we want to bless you. We're going to give you the tapes. We're going to give you the tapes. That's it. We're going to give you. You need the tapes. If you were here last night, you did not get all of last night. You heard it, but you did not get it. You heard it, but you didn't get it. Praise God. I know of somebody. I heard a story this morning of somebody that said, "Well, when Brother McCurry got to Revelation, he lost me." He was going so deep. It wasn't that he was rambling. He never rambles. But he was going so deep. Hallelujah. You needed an aqualung to follow him. You know, he was going to take you into a new environment in God. How many of you want to dwell in that new environment in God? Hallelujah. Come on. That's what we want. And so, we're going to have nothing more to do other than to listen to the Word. Hallelujah. Well, let's welcome the Christ in our Brother McCurry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Apostle and Prophet. Hallelujah. Let's just stand and welcome Him. Come on. Hallelujah. Let's welcome that anointing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You want to be blessed, then bless the man. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give Bob a mic. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. You have your Bible, turn with us to the 15th chapter of 1 Chronicles. I think the Lord has a beautiful lesson for us in this chronicle. All of the 1 Chronicles are beautiful. But I think the climax is in the 15th and 16th chapter of the book of 1 Chronicles. I'm sure you're here for one purpose, and that is to get prepared for the presence of the Lord. Well, glory. So we read in verse 1. Now, Brother Bob's going to read with me tonight. And this is one of the perfect outlines that's in the Word of God. And I like these kinds of outlines. You don't have to hunt your notes. And I don't know whether I'll even open my Bible or not tonight. But you check me. And you read with me, because it's in your Bible. Verse 1. David made him houses.
In the city of David.
Or in this particular case, it was the city of Zion. All of Jerusalem was not the city of David. David lived in Zion. And Zion was the highest peak in Jerusalem. And so he built him houses in the city of David. But the next phase is what I want us to look at for point number one.
And prepared a place for the ark of God.
And prepared a place for the ark of God. Or he prepared a place for the presence of God. Now, how many of you are preparing your heart for God to come and dwell within you? There has to be preparation. There's not going to be God and old order living together. We must remember that David prepared a place for God, presence of God, in Zion. And Zion is the highest peak. You've already left the low plains of the church. You've already left the low territory of the church and its tradition. Now you're in Zion. You've already built yourself a habitation in Zion. Now it's time to prepare a place for God in your own heart. And the word of the Lord is so plain. Hallelujah. God will not dwell with the gods of Baal. He won't dwell with Dagon. He'll break his head off. And they'll put it back on. The next time he'll not only break his head off, but he'll break his hands. And therefore showing you that your old order has no head, has no hands to work with. It's not good for nothing only to make void the word of God.
Amen.
Now the Lord said that himself. Ye have made void the word of the Lord by your tradition.
Amen.
Now there's some traditions that's good, but you and I have got to learn to throw away all that mama and grandma has taught us. And get a hold of the real principle of the Word of God. And begin to allow it to prepare a place for us. Forget what the church has taught you. Getting quiet. Forget what the charismatic has taught you. Don't hang on to some old deleted doctrine and deleted position that you've held. Oh, somebody said, all of these things are good. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm simply saying even if they're good, they're hindering you from the presence of the Lord. I'd rather have His presence than 10,000 worlds like this. Oh, hallelujah! When we have His presence, oh, hallelujah, we have the fullness of joy. And it's not a makeshift. It's not a put on. It's a real, real deep joy. Praise God. That's not controlled by circumstance. Oh, my Father. So many people today are claiming to be filled with the Spirit, and circumstance rules their life. Get out of it. You're not in this world, or you're not of this world. We're aliens. And we don't expect people of the world to understand us. We represent a foreign country. Woo, hallelujah. And we have been sent here to prepare. To prepare, to set in order a kingdom of people that our glorious city can descend. Come down. Oh, said, I'm preparing to go up. Forget it. The elevator is not running. You have to prepare your own self for this city to come down. Did not John said, I saw a city? Did he say it was going up or coming down? Oh, praise the Lord. Proverbs says the righteous shall never be removed from the earth. Oh, glory to God. Have you ever read the 5th chapter of Matthew? Oh, we are preparing our heart and we are preparing for the presence of the Lord. Now David, when he said he prepared a place for the ark of God, the next phase of that verse said he pitched a tent. Well, glory. Now, I've got more here than I can ever minister out tonight in just this one verse. And I would definitely love to go on down for about 11 verses. Amen. But I don't get that far. But how many of you understand what I just said? When you go to prepare in a place for God, you have to go against all of tradition and all that God has done aforetime. Oh, now, you know I can't go against what God has done. If you're going to prepare your heart for God's presence, you're going to have to do away with everything that is before. David didn't pitch a tabernacle. David did not pitch a tabernacle with an outer court and a holy place and a holies of holies. Well, glory to God. Well, God done that. That's right. In its time. But it's time now to move to another degree. You see, that's what's wrong with the church world now. They want to hold on to the 17th, 18th century. They're trying to bring people to God with the 18th century doctrine. And they think it's right. And we are falling behind in missionary work and worldwide work every day of your life. It hasn't worked. Well, somebody say amen. How many of you know that the order has not worked? We are falling behind in world evangelization. Well, hallelujah. The British Bible Society, American Bible Society, hasn't done the job. So don't you think it's time that we prepared our own heart for the presence of God to get God to do what He has set out to do? Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to have to shout a little. Now, David did not pitch a duplicate of the tabernacle in the wilderness. Well, God ordained that. He surely did. He surely did. Oh. Well, glory. You know, God ordained and God used the Wesley boys. God used Whitfield. God used Finney. And used all of the old pioneers and patriarchs. But it won't work today. It will not work today. So that's the reason you have to prepare your heart. Prepare a place for God to dwell in. He's not coming down in the old order and set up His household. Oh, hallelujah. Not coming in a Baptist house. Or a Methodist house. Or a holiness house. Church of God house. Oh, hallelujah. He's going to come in His own house that you have prepared. And when you prepare it and you get everything set in order, He comes in and kicks over the money table, kicks over everything that's not right with Him, kicks it over, disturbs everything that you've set in order. Hakadidah Bohosatai. Stirs up things. You know, you don't understand what I'm saying. You've never been married. The ladies can get the house straightened up, cleaned up, and all the furniture fixed just, you know, where it's supposed to be. And you get used to it. And you come in the next day and sit down, and you sit down in the floor. My chair's supposed to be here. Amen. Well, you see, when he comes in, he kicks over the table to the money changer. He turns loose all the doves. Turns loose all the animal sacrifices. Gets rid of everything that you have prepared to sacrifice. And then he has the audacity to say, my house. Praise God. You and I can't say that with our natural house. Our wife would get the rolling pin after. But aren't you glad? Hallelujah! That a house is being prepared. That we're preparing a place for the presence of God. Hallelujah! And we're going to be an oddball with the world. We just won't fit in. Oh, hallelujah. We can't even have church with folks in old order. Oh, well, I'd better go on from here. But he pitched the tent. Everybody say he pitched the tent. Now, this tent was just an old umbrella tent. No sides. No sides. And nobody up until that time had saw the Ark of the Covenant but the high priest. He only went in once a year, and then he had to take the blood with him. Hallelujah. But David pitched an umbrella tent. Brought the ark. I wish they had time. Preacher, teach a little bit on how they brought the ark from Obed-Edom's house. He was like one of these we call Arkansas farmers. He couldn't grow nothing but roasting ear nubs, not a full ear of corn. But when they put the Ark of the Covenant in his house, his whole house prospered. Amen. My God, he become prosperous overnight. And David said, it's not right for one man to get all of this prosperity. Oh, and the one man had nothing to do with it. He just opened up for the presence of God. If you will open up to the presence of God, you're in for something you've never received before. But let me spend just a little time on this tent. I'm sure you have read the 91st Psalm. But I'm not sure you understand what you're reading. Oh, it starts off beautiful. Praise the Lord. He that abideth in the secret place of the Most High dwelleth in the shadow. Whew. Is that the 91st Psalm?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Oh, glory. There they brought the Ark of the Covenant, set it down in that little old umbrella tent on Mount Zion. Amen. And to set that tent down with that Ark of the Covenant and the seraphim's wings touching one another. And in the middle of that tent is where David spent most of his time meditating. There was a white rock in the middle of that tent. And that's where David sat meditating He didn't call it meditating. He called it musing. While I was musing, the fire did burn. Oh, but simply said, while I was meditating, the fire did burn. But David would go out there every morning. He'd sit down there. He cut Tamman Vihosata. Now that Ark of the Covenant weighed 700 pounds solid gold. I want to get into the numbers now. But Hikabahasata, 700 pound pure gold. And David sat on that white stone. And the morning sun would come up. And as the morning sun would rise up on the hill of Zion, it would strike these seraphim's wings going across that tent, and it would cast a shadow. You could see the shadow go coming closer and closer, closer to that white stone where David said, and all of a sudden it hit him. And David said, blessed is he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. If you could prepare a place for his presence, you'll learn to dwell in the secret place. You'll learn that sun's going to bring the shadow. Oh, hallelujah. You know Malachi said, the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. He's talking about that sun hitting the seraphim and casting that shadow. Oh, hallelujah. And what made the shadow was the S-U-N, the sun coming up. Oh, hallelujah. But you see, we have prepared a place for the S-O-N. Oh, hallelujah. 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 And you and I have found a place to sit on a white rock.
Yes.
How many of you understand that when they cast lots, that they had white rocks and black rocks? And if you pulled up a black rock, you didn't get nothing. But if you pick up a white rock, the treasure is yours. And you and I are sitting on the treasure. Oh my God. I wish I had time to go into Revelation and explain what this white rock is. The Bible said his name is on it. And it's the same as if you was in that day, the Olympics, whenever you won in the Olympic Games, they'd give you a white stone. And everywhere you went, you could present that white stone, you get free lodging, free meals. Everything was free to you. Do you hear what I'm saying? And you and I are preparing a place and sitting on a white rock. And we're coming into everything. Praise God. The abundance. The Lord said he will give you life and life more. Abundance. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now this is what preparing a place for the Lord really, really means. You are preparing your heart. Well, how are you doing it? Okay, I don't want to go to meddling or nothing. You know, every time you begin to tell folks how to prepare, they think you're meddling. But see, you prepare progressively for this presence of the Lord. Now, you can shout all you want to. You can talk in tongues until you fall out. It don't matter. Oh, hallelujah. You can pretend you love the preacher. I mean, you can substitute everything about religion but one thing, and that's giving. You can't substitute that. Hallelujah. You either a giver or you're a thief. I don't like that. Well, the devil don't either. Are you kin to him?
Glory, tell the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Brother David prepared for this. Man, he was preparing, and when he got ready, he had millions to turn over. How many of you want millions to turn over to God?
Amen.
To build training centers all over the world. I want to see a training center here. Oh, hallelujah. Now, you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about housing facilities. A school, not the traditional teaching. We don't need it. We need the Spirit and His presence more than we need anything else in the universe.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. So you see, when the presence of the Lord comes in, David was sitting there on that white stone, and then he wrote that 91st Psalm. Praise God. Have you read it recently? Turn to it. Hold your place where I am, Bob, because I'm coming back to it if I can. 91st Psalm.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High.
Now, I want you to understand something. And I'm not anti-King James, but King James is a poor translation. If that King James is right, only males can dwell here. It shouldn't be he. Well, yeah, but you cross up to them that they get quiet. It shouldn't be he. You're not a he. You're a woman. A woman. God ain't left you out. It should read, and they that dwell in the secret place of the Lord.
Yes.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Praise God. You have as much right as I have to dwell in the secret place of the Lord.
Yes.
Oh, glory. You get a hold of my Bible, you'd find words scratched out and other words wrote in there. Hallelujah. But you see, now, they that dwell in the secret place. Now, what is the secret place? That white stone. And what makes it so precious is the shadow's going to hit it. And read on now.
Shall hide under the shadow of the ark.
Great God. You hear what he said? You're going to stay under that shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
How Hallelujah. And if you're going to stay in the shadow of the Almighty, read on.
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress.
You see? Then you turn away from what you can do and you say of the Lord,
yes.
You are my rescue. You are my buckler. You are my defense.
Amen.
You are my safety.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah. Read on.
My God in Him.
And you are my God, and in Him will I trust. Surely, if I'm abiding in His presence, I'm going to be delivered.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
And from the northern pestilence.
From all the pestilence, He said northern here. I don't have the time to get anybody in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4. He said, come thy north wind and blow on my garden. Now north wind kills everything but evergreens. So we want him to blow with the north wind on us to kill everything that's not permanent.
Amen.
Then he said, and come thy south wind and blow on my garden. That garden is the church. Oh, hallelujah. That the fragrance may go out all over the world.
Amen.
Now when you find that white stone and you have found the secret place of the Most High, you're abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, His presence through you is going to go out all over the world. Everywhere you go, you're going to take His presence. Hallelujah. And you're going to see a difference in every individual you meet. Will you give me enough time to read another few verses of this?
He shall cover thee with his feathers.
He covers us with feathers. Somebody said, well, that's awful like covering. It's the most powerful thing that's ever been made. Feather. When I was a boy, one time there was a hailstorm come through our country in North Carolina, and we live out in the country. And a hailstorm about a mile long just knocked out all the tree leaves and limbs and tops off of houses, and a little hen with her biddies was in the front yard. And she began to cluck and cover them with her wings. Did you know when that storm was over, her head was bleeding, but not a one of those biddies was hurt? The feathers kept all of that. Let the hailstorms come. I'm covered. Are you covered? Have you prepared a place for Him? Oh, let the winds howl. Oh, my. All right, read another verse.
And under His wings thou shalt trust.
How many of you can trust the safety of His wing? Come on. My God. How many of you remember what he said when he got up on the Mount of Olives and looked at Jerusalem? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee together, even as a hen gathers her brood, but you would not. You don't want his safety. You don't want his protection, because you're not preparing your heart for his presence. But if you prepare your heart for His presence, He'll cover you with His wing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I'll unplug there for that scripture. Let's go back to Chronicles. I could preach you about a month on that 191st Psalm, give you the history and the background of it, and brother, he'd hang you in the heavens. If you want to stay under the wings of the Almighty, where nothing would hinder you, nothing would bother you. Well, hallelujah. Verse 2 of 15th chapter.
Then David said, now to carry the ark of God, but to leave
us. Now he's telling them, let's go back to the divine order. Let's go back to the order in the original order of God. Ever Dick, Tom, and Harry wants to grab a Bible and go to preaching. That's not what God is after. God's after a place to dwell in you. You don't have to be a preacher for Him to dwell in you. Well, hallelujah. David said in verse 2, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. I know I'm striking a sour note on somebody because they said, well, we all preachers. And you could say, we all holy. That's what Kor's crowd said over in the book of Numbers. And they also said to Moses, you take too much authority on yourself. I'm here to tell you there has to be a leader.
Amen.
There has to be a leader.
Amen.
Well, glory. Now, we'll get down to the plurality in a few minutes, but right now, he is telling you plainly, everybody is not to carry the presence of God or be God's representative. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Come on. God is looking for individuals that will prepare their heart for a presence of God. And if you're going to do that, you have to prepare yourself to live in the shadow of the Almighty. And if you're under the shadow of the Almighty, then all these things are going to go to work. The 91st Psalm's yours. But when it comes to carrying the presence of the Lord, oh, hallelujah. Now let me show you why situations is as they are right now. I believe if we go down to the 12th verse of the 15th chapter, he tells you why.
And he said unto them, you are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared.
Yeah. Well, we'll back up a verse or two. Said, what I was looking for is, ye have not sought me after the due order. Maybe verse 12.
Verse 13.
For
because ye did it not at the first.
Now, you didn't do this at the first. You didn't do this at the beginning. This is why you're stalemated. Uh-oh. This is why the ark of God is just in certain individuals' homes and they are prospering and you are not. Oh! I'm not going to allow Andrew to prosper more than me. I'm going to get into that secret place.
Amen.
It's for every one of you.
Yeah.
But we didn't do this at the start or at the first. And that's why God brought a breach upon David and upon Israel. And he killed a couple of guys.
True.
Killed them. Why? Because they touched the anointing.
That's right.
Tried to. And they was trying to do a good thing.
That's right.
But your good deeds has killed you spiritually.
Oh, man. Oh, man. That's right.
That's right.
God ain't looking for you to do good deeds.
No.
He's looking for you to prepare your heart for His. You know, they think they're called to preach and get up and make the biggest fool of themselves that I've ever saw. Just learn to keep your big mouth shut. You hear what I'm telling you? You ain't called to preach, shut up. Well, the anointing's on me. Well, hallelujah. It ain't on you to preach. Well, I just feel that I have to say it. I know. But if you shut up, you'd get far more than you would for blabbing it out. Because you blab out something you think is true, and you don't a bit more know the meaning of it, the historical operation of it. Amen. Than the man in the moon. You don't search out the Word. You don't dig into the Word. You don't want to know what's behind it and why it's there.
Yes. Amen.
Well, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, I'm one of these inquisitive individuals. If I find something in the Bible, I want to know why it's there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Want to know why it said that.
Yes. Hallelujah.
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 Ooh, glory. Well, I think this next verse will kindly explain more freely to us. Bob, you read with me.
Amen.
Not. I'm talking about going back to the first now. Verse 3.
And David gathered all Israel together.
Now, here's the secret. He gathered all of Israel together, and he simply was bringing into a divine unity.
Yeah.
This is the hindrance of majority of churches.
Right.
They're pulling in right and left and one way and another way. Somebody said, well, I know God told me this is the way to do it. And the pastor says that's not the way to do it. I don't care what he says.
Mm-hmm.
You out of order.
Right.
You broke a divine covenant with God.
That's right. Amen.
You're unsubmissive.
Amen. True. That's right.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
And you will not submit unto authority.
Amen. Glory. That's it.
And it breaks the unity in the body of Christ.
Amen. That's right.
And if there's no unity in the body of Christ, there's no power to accomplish anything. You can have 1,000 people and never get nothing done. You could have 40 or 50 people in unity and do anything under the sun. Well, glory! We have proved this. I said, we have proved this. Without any problems, we have proved this.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. No individual that I know of has questioned what ministry has done. Well, now the Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 3, endeavoring, now that word endeavor means going against your own belief, going against your own conviction, endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith in the bond of the Spirit.
Yes.
Other words, you are going against, the best way to say it, I guess, is just shut up if you don't agree.
True.
Yes.
And pull with the program.
Amen.
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 I don't expect everybody to agree with me. I give you the opportunity to be wrong. But if I'm a spiritual leader, it will be proven right. Hallelujah. Of course, personally, I don't give just orders on my own. Oh no.
Hallelujah.
We have a unity in the assembly.
Hallelujah.
And then this fourth verse.
And David assembled the children of Aaron.
He assembled the children of Aaron
and the Levites.
Plurality ministry.
Yes. Amen.
Takes it out of his hands solely. And calls for the fivefold ministry.
Hallelujah. That's true.
And when you go into plurality ministry, there's going to be a work accomplished.
Amen.
There's going to be a work accomplished and finished that's beyond anything that you've ever dreamed of or ever thought about. It might not be happening in the immediate congregation, but it's happening on the outside.
Amen.
It's happening on the outside. The work of God is being done beyond the four walls.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This plurality ministry is exactly what God is after. Now, well, I said, I believe it's Jerusalem. Well, that's old order. It's quiet now. James was the pastor of the Jerusalem church. And James was quickly allowing the people to go back into Judaism. So Barnabas went over to Antioch and began to preach and saw such an ups rising there as he went sent down into the territory, Torah, and brought up Paul. And Paul was noted as a teacher at that particular time. And Barnabas was noted as a prophet. Oh, Paul was greater than Barnabas. No, sir, Paul exalted himself. Like a lot of other folks I know.
Amen.
Oh, I'll give you scripture, chapter, and verse if you want.
Amen. Go ahead.
You see, some people have got Brother Paul so infallible that they think he's God. Oh, I know he wrote over half of the New Testament. But that doesn't mean that he did everything right. Well, I've been a Christian for 50 years. Well, that don't mean you've lived right all that time.
Amen.
You might have been a Christian. But that don't mean you've done everything right.
That's right.
I don't expect you to shout much on this message. But I do expect you to hear what I'm telling you. So Paul went up to Antioch. The revival broke out. He was sent after Paul. And they were up there. And then if you'll turn, hold your finger where I am and turn over to the 13th chapter of Acts. Maybe tomorrow night I'll open the Bible. Oh, glory to God. Do you have it? Everybody got it? Say amen. It is in the New Testament, sister. I know. I have the same problem. All right, verse 1 we begin.
Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers.
Now, did you hear what he said? Now in the Antioch church there were certain prophets and teachers. It didn't say there was pastors. It didn't say, now if you read over that in Jerusalem, it tells you in the Jerusalem church, James was a pastor. James was the authority of the Jerusalem church. Peter had resigned and began to evangelize. Oh, hallelujah. I know this is foreign to a lot of folk, but this is the truth if you begin to read with me. There were certain prophets and teachers. Now, somebody said, well, how do you divide these individuals? Well, the first one is that Ms. mentioned, they are prophets. And the last ones are teachers. So that means, simply, that Barnabas was a prophet. Paul was a teacher. Hallelujah. Are you reading with me?
Yeah.
That's the way the word reads.
Yeah.
Barnabas was a prophet. Oh, hallelujah. You see, Barnabas has already set a lot of real good principles out before this revival broke out. You see, Barnabas was the individual that God spoke to and told him that to tell the people they that had land, sell it. Barnabas at that time was in the real estate business. Oh, hallelujah. He was in the real estate business. Now, it didn't mean they were selling their homes. It simply means they were selling their second house. It simply meant they were selling everything they had two of. And they was going to bring the money and lay it down at the apostles' feet. Well, hallelujah. You know the story. I don't have to go into the detail of it, but Ananias and Sapphira was there. They just had sold some property. And they had agreed and to lie. You'd be surprised how many folks will lie over money. And they agreed that they sold that property for just so much. And they brought what they thought was proper, lay it down in the foot of the apostle. And Peter said, Ananias, Why have you allowed Satan to make you lie to the Holy Ghost? He fell dead. I'm telling you, neighbor, we are in for restoration. And they're going to be people carried out of these kingdom churches because of their lying. Well, I don't like to go there. They just don't do nothing but take up money. Honey, you don't know what a long offering is. This one I'm talking about, here's what it said. 3 hours later, Sapphira come in. They'd been taking up an offering over 3 hours.
Oh.
And she come in and told the same story. Peter said, by the feet of them that carried your husband out is now coming into the church. They're going to carry you out also. She fell dead. And then you tell me that what, God won't kill you, or that God won't let judgment fall on you if you don't do the right thing with your money? I like this part of it. Great fear fell on all them that are around about Jerusalem. And no man dares to join himself to them. Could you blame them? God, they're dying. Nobody wouldn't join them. But the strange part of it, the next verse said, and God added to the church daily such as were being saved.
Amen.
Now there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is that they, the individual true worshipers, magnified leadership.
Yes, that's true.
Amen. Magnified leadership.
Amen.
And when they done that, God added to them. Just right on. Even if their people was afraid to come to church, God added them anyway. All right. Now let's go back to plurality ministry. I've established the fact that Barnabas is a prophet. I've established the fact that Saul was a teacher. All right, verse 2.
As they ministered to the Lord.
Now, they didn't minister to one another. First, they ministered unto the Lord. How do you minister to the Lord? Just like we were doing tonight.
Amen.
Amen. We were singing courses that praised Him and lift Him up. Magnifying Him, and that is ministering to the Lord. And if you will minister to the Lord, then God will minister to you. Listen to the wording now. And as they ministered unto the Lord
and fasted, the Holy Ghost said.
Now, the Holy Ghost said. Now, He didn't say this in tongues. If He had a, it would be there and being interpreted. But that's not there. But the Holy Ghost said, which meant it was brought out by prophecy. And a prophecy went forth. And what did this prophecy say?
Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called thee.
See, out of plurality ministry, there comes a definite separation whenever an individual gets ready.
That's right.
Amen. I know, but what I'm talking about now, I have elders in the local assembly I'm seeing growth in them. And eventually, now some of us say, well, I'm going to take McCurry's place. Well, you might and you might not. You're going to do what God tells you to do.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I have called them. And so the church prayed and fasted. And then they began to lay hands upon these brethren and send them out. The church sent them out first. And then the next verse said, and being sent forth by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But the Holy Ghost was saying amen to what the church had done.
Amen.
Now when you can get a church operating in the realm of the Spirit good enough for the Holy Ghost to say amen and agree to it, you've got something.
Amen.
You have something.
Amen.
That you can't find everywhere you go.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, but they was sent by the church first. See, if you want to be sent, you're going to have to be in a local assembly to be sent.
Amen.
Right.
And that local presbytery can send you, but it has to be under the endorsement of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If it's not, it's not going to do any good.
Right.
Well, I'll just do it on my own. Go ahead. People are failing every day that's trying to do it on their own. Who do you think you are? Brothers, is it God doesn't need our approval?
That's right.
Oh, I know. Well, I don't like what McCurry does. You didn't call me.
Right. That's right.
And you can't fire me.
Right.
Oh, hallelujah. How many of you are agreeing with what I'm trying to show you tonight? Preparing a place for God. Getting in, amen, divine order. Coming into divine unity. And then submitting to plurality ministry. Hallelujah. But I just don't like the elders are doing everything. I know I got something to do. Well, sit on your butt till God tells you to do it.
Amen.
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 Then it'll be confirmed by the elders. You see, people don't understand how to operate in God.
Right.
You operate, you say, well, I'm a prophet. Well, operate in that prophetic ministry. Go ahead and operate in it.
Yeah.
And then the presbytery will come along and lay hands on you and set you in that particular ministry you've been operating in. And the church will agree to it because they've already saw you operating in it. And now there's complete unity that you have been recognized in that particular office. Hallelujah! Neighbor God. Woo. Well, I'm down to verse 5 now. And if you draw a line from 5 down through 11, you will find the urgency of this. I ain't going into that. But you'll find that the urgency is so important that you begin to move in to these principles that we've already mentioned. Oh, praise God.
Yes.
And see the glory. Somebody said, well, why did God change the order? For God wanted to move you from a tent to a temple. God wanted to move you from a tent, Mosaic tent, into David's tabernacle, and from David's tabernacle into the temple. But you happen to be the temple.
Amen.
How many of you know you are the temple? Why, some of these people looking for God to build a temple back over in Jerusalem. That's a bunch of junk. God ain't going to build no temple over in Jerusalem and no animal sacrifice. Why, that's crazy. Well, that's what Ezekiel said. No, that's what you think he said. That is not what he said. And I don't have time to get into it, but oh, glory to God. You make 7 steps down in Ezekiel's first mention. How many of you know 7 is perfection? And you got to go down to reach God's perfection. Then you go on a level, and then you rise up 8 steps. And 8 is the beginning of a new day. And then God begins to build you the temple. Oh, hallelujah. But before he does that, he has to dig a hole in your wall and get out all of the corruption out of you. And this is what I'm talking about now, is preparing yourself to become the temple of the Lord. A dwelling place for the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. That you and I can praise the Lord. That God can make us a bright and shining light. And he only does this out of people that's facing the east, which is a new beginning. Oh, hallelujah. And you can't have a new beginning until you prepare a place for God's presence to come and dwell in you. And then you can have a new beginning.
Amen.
How many of you tonight wants that new beginning?
Amen.
You want to have yourself prepared for the presence of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
To come down and dwell in you.
Hallelujah.
He tells you in Revelation that I will be your God and you will be my people. And I will walk in you. Hey, glory to God. I will walk in you. That's what he's wanting. He wants you to represent him in this earth. How many of you want to be a representative? Well, do you want to be a carrier of his presence? That's what we are. All in the world I am is the carrier of the presence of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I've got to pray 2 weeks before I can get a hold of the Lord. My God, you're in bad shape. I'm a firm believer in a short prayer and a quick answer. Come on, how many of you are believers in a short prayer and a quick answer? Well, that ain't in the Bible. It's because you haven't analyzed it. When Peter had that sinking feeling, he was going down. He prayed a short prayer. Lord, save me or I perish.
Yeah.
And he got a quick answer. The Lord got him by the hand and lifted him up. Oh, wherein did you doubt? Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the doubt was in what he was seeing.
Yes.
Don't take your eyes off of him.
Right.
You may be in the midst of a storm, but don't take your eyes off of him. Because he is your salvation. Oh, hallelujah. 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 We are God's habitation. We are God's habitation. And therefore, you should be careful how you walk. I tell these elders and the church, be careful how you walk. You are representing God and you're representing me.
Amen.
And now I keep an eye on the elders.
Amen.
If they do something that's not up to date with the scripture, I talk with them.
Amen.
I said, I talk with them. We are all subject to make failures.
Amen.
But we know God is a God of another change.
Amen.
And another change. Amen. And another change.
Amen.
I'm persuaded that this fellowship is of God.
Amen.
And I'm also persuaded that there's going to be a teaching center to bring restoration to this whole area. I'm not just speaking words. I am willing to put my whole being behind it. I am willing to put my finance behind it. Because I know I've heard from God. And we liable to be making trips over here often.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And then we can have class after class.
Yes.
Well, we can't get many out. There ain't many going to accept it no way.
Right. Amen.
Amen. But God, oh, hallelujah. Is desiring, Andrew, to raise up people in this end time.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Would you stand with me tonight?
Praise the Lord.
And I would like for you to join hands. Praise the Lord. Now, if there is any doubters here, I'll excuse you. Because we mean business. I know we mean business. And I am confident that Andrew and Grace mean business. You are fortunate to have such people to look after you. And to be your example.
Amen.
Well, amen.
Amen.
Mantle is upon Andrew and Grace. Oh, glory to God. I can see in a vision now the grounds and see how God's laying it out and raising it up. Oh, hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for letting us have an advance vision of what you're doing now. I want to thank you, Lord, for Andrew and for Grace. I want to thank you, Father, right now for all that you are accomplishing. I want to thank you for visiting us in this meeting. I want to thank you for your leadership in this meeting. I want to thank you, Lord, for the obedience of the ministries of this meeting. I want you, Lord, to look down in our hearts and our lives tonight. Search out, Lord. Cleanse us, Lord. And we will have a purging of all the filthiness of the flesh. And that we would see the glory of God. He's in the house, neighbor. He's in the house. He's in the house. Oh, glory to God. He's in the house. And when deity is in the house, you need to learn to respect him. Walk softly. And be obedient. Be obedient. Well, hallelujah. I want every last one of you to enter a covenant with me right now and say, I will be obedient.
I will not rebel.
I will not rebel. I will be obedient unto all things. And I hear what Brother Andrew says as from the Lord. I thank you for it, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to know I'm talking for myself and the elders in the church. We're with you 100%.
Amen.